Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is another episode of Dadcast rounding out 2023. I am JP. That guy is Nick. Nick, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm relearning how to be a full-time dad this week.
Oh, daycare is not an option, huh?
No option for daycare. Yeah.
But aren't you always a full-time dad?
Always a full-time dad, but the kids are just like, they're at daycare. So it's weird when they're home.
Right.
And like, you have like other things that you want to do, but then it's like, well, PJ Mask takes precedence over that. You can't watch Obliterated while the kids are around.
We'll talk about that later. Where are the kids though then?
They are with grandpa.
So they do have daycare then for a little bit.
For about an hour.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Well, then we better get this son of a bitch rolling, man.
Yeah.
Today on the show, man, I am excited to give to you he's an actor. He's a radio personality. He's a friend. He's a former coworker of mine, and hopefully maybe one day a coworker once again. Welcome to the show. I'm going to call him by his radio name, Mr. Danny Canada. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, man. How are you, JP?
Good, man. It's good to see you. I feel like it's been a while that we've hung out and had a chat. I saw you on the street yesterday driving around town, and I was like,
dude. At least you made that clarification. You didn't see me just hanging out on the streets. Yeah.
He was holding up a sign. We'll work for radio.
Was he by a stripper bento?
No, he was not.
It makes sense.
He was by the mall. He was by Killer Burger. If you want to get precise, that's where I saw Danny Canada.
Nice.
As I mentioned, him and I used to work together in the radio industry. Those were some really good times. We'll get into all of that, man. But the first question I have for you. It is a rite of passage here on Dadcast. We ask it of everyone. And that is, good sir, are you a dad?
I am.
Yes. And I know the answer to all these, but to listeners in the universe out there, they don't know. So tell us, how many kids, what are their ages, all the good stuff.
All right. Well, I'll start with this because I've been married for 24 years.
Yes.
So that just happened on Monday, just the other day.
We had 24-year anniversary. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
He got married at 32, by the way. Because he's a young chap.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good to be young. Yeah. I remember those days. This white stuff on my face here. I feel like I'm turning into Santa Claus.
Well, do what I do. Just diet.
Don't do it.
Nah, I'm not going to do that. No. My wife would kill me.
I'm not ready to accept my fate yet, man. I keep saying it. Episode after episode.
My wife loves it. She says, I love your gray. Look at this.
I'm so jealous.
I mean, I've got lots of hair. It's all gray. So wife loves it. I'll keep it.
How's that job treating you then? Because last you had color in your hair when we worked together, and that was only 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
It's not the job. It's the girls. I have three daughters.
Okay. That's, and here we go. Here we go. How old are they?
So I got three, right? One is 20. She's going to be 20. So she's 19 right now. One's 17, one's 13.
Holy so I got, crap.
Yeah. All poor daughters.
Guy. Dude. And I remember when they were not even teenagers yet.
Yeah.
You know, going up to Lake of the Woods or the Diamond Lake and doing the fishing derby and hanging out with your kids and the dog. And I saw your puppy passed away recently, man. I'm sorry about that. Yeah. Not to bring up sad times, but
The kids are in the house with another puppy right now, so we'll see how that goes. Yeah, a little Christmas maybe.
19.
I'm watching it for a friend of mine. He had to go away for a couple days over the Christmas here, so we're watching his puppy 10 weeks for the weekend. He's picking him up on Christmas Eve.
Nice.
So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. A 13-year-old in charge, so I might have made a big mistake.
Whoa. No, I think a 13-year-old's a good time for them to, you know, my son. Sawyer, he's 13 now too.
Yeah.
And baby girl Avery, 10. And Nick there, he's got 87 children. He's got a great story to tell. He had a whole bunch of kids, then got clipped, right? And then what happened, Nick?
I got remarried and then I got unfixed and had a baby. But right in the middle of COVID.
Two babies.
We just it's had twin? Another. No. So I had one 3 years ago, and then we had another one almost a year ago.
Right on.
Yes, so I'm like starting over. I've got 1 year old baby girl and 3 year old little boy. And it's crazy.
In his mid 40s.
That's what I'm talking about. No daycare. I'm like, ah.
They're like, you're old enough to know better. You should have known that happens when you have kids. So I've been neutered as well. What was worse, the neutering or the un-neutering?
The un-neutering.
That was worse, eh?
Yeah, it was definitely way worse.
Yeah, I've done neither. I just, you know, my lady, she got neutered, and now, you know, they took out the factory, put in a playground. Daddy's good. I'm good to go.
There you go. Not bad.
So your oldest now, she said she's 19 now, Dan?
19. Yep. She's in her second year of university.
Is she still living at home or she just visiting now?
Just visiting. She's out in Utah.
Wow. She a Ute? Yep.
She is a cougar. She goes to BYU.
Oh, I didn't know you guys Mormons. Were Mormon.
We're not. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Words of Seinfeld.
Right.
But they got a great business school. It's the Marriott School of Business over there, I believe is what it is. And she wants a business degree. She wants to work in the real estate world. And she had some friends that were there, got accepted, and went for it.
So, nice, dude. Congrats.
Second year now.
That's got to be pretty. You know, God, we've hardly talked in all this time, man. I imagine you are pretty proud.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. What's so amazing about it, too, is the fact that she got in, because it's hard to get into BYU. Uh-huh. She's got a ton of scholarships because her grades were above the 4.1, 4.2, up in that level. She's kicking butt in her classes. So, you know, you what do? You raise them up, and then at a point they go, and then it's kind of like, all right, how did I do? Did she soak it all in? Did I teach it right? Is she going to use my knowledge? Is she going to go figure it out herself? So they probably, you know, they peek and poke and they twist a little, and she's doing good 2 years out and still likes to come home. So that's good too. So
nice. How did you, sorry, Nick, you have something?
I just said very cool.
Yes. How did you navigate those, you know, high school years when there's all these temptations around to keep her grounded and keep those grades up? I mean, as a parent, was she naturally aspiring to do that? Or did you guys have to push, prod, teach, pull your hair out? I mean, how was it for you personally as a dad to get her through that?
So really amazing, right? I didn't do anything.
Mom.
She's mom. Yeah. So like our personalities, my wife and my personalities are very similar in that we're outgoing. We are bubbly. We're extroverts. You know, we're a lot of fun. I tend to pick up things really, really quickly. So I don't work very hard. Where my wife, it takes her a little while to catch on to things. So she works really hard at things. And my daughter got both. She's really quick. She picks up things really fast, but she works really hard. And so it was just like the math where it was girl math. It just worked.
Oh, that's funny. Now, how about the next daughter, 17, what is she, a senior right now?
She's a senior, yeah.
And how is she doing at school?
Same, she's kicking butt, loving it. She's got, she's in the 3.9s, the 3.8s. She's, you know, not, you know, a little struggling in the scholastics part of the school. But, you know, she got accepted to GCU. That's down in Arizona, Phoenix.
Okay. I lose your voice?
Nope.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, you're good.
All right,
good. And, and the youngest, 13.
So she's in GCU. Well, she got accepted to GCU, Grand Canyon University. And when you get accepted, they fly you down there to go and visit. And so she went to visit with one of her really close friends who also got accepted. So they're going to both go to Arizona. So I'm going to have a kid in Utah. I'm going to have a kid in Arizona. And I'll still have one here.
One still at home. Yeah. Now, how is that emotionally for you and the wife, man? Two kids almost gone, getting close to being empty nesters. Is it sad? Is it, you know, is it a celebration? A little bit of both?
You know, dude, it's all at once. It's all at the same time. Because, you know, you're sad. Obviously, this is your baby that you've grown up with and nurtured and loved on. And now all of a sudden they're like, I'm out, Dad. I want to go as far away as I can. You're like, you know, but you're excited for them because they got to go and fly. Right. You got to see what's going to happen when they jump. Yeah, you're sad for sure. You're excited. You're proud. You're a little curious because you want to see how their life's doing.
Right.
So, you know, it's a whole bag of emotions, man. The first one, when she left, it was more exciting because that's something that she had worked for so long. Because when she was in grade 10, she visited BYU with some friends. She dated a Mormon in high school for a long time, which that was really good because there wasn't much pressure there. Right.
Gotcha. Kind of nice. Wink, wink, nudge, so nudge.
Exactly. Yeah. They went and visited Utah. She loved it. She goes, that's the school I'm going to. And I was like, no way, come on. I mean, you got to check out some other schools. She's like, nope, that's the one. So she applied to that school. And I think she applied to Northwestern, and that was it. And got accepted to BYU. And that was the course forever. And so my other daughter, she's going to graduate this year. She applied to BYU just because sister said you have to just apply.
Right.
And then she also applied to GCU and she got into that one. So I don't even, she's not even going to bother with BYU. She did apply, but I don't know what's, you know, she's just going to let that one go because she's excited about Arizona. So
dude, party Arizona.
So with the second one though, so now we've got 2 years with one daughter gone and we really understand and what it's like to miss them and that right. They're gone and the house is different. I mean, they come back to visit, but it's not the same. You know?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
They come back as an adult. It's just, it's not the same when they come back after that. So with our second one leaving, we're kind of feeling it a little more. We're a little more sad, I think. Not that we love her anymore or anything. It's just now that we know what it's like, oh my gosh, what it's like with our kids are gone.
Yeah.
And then we're down to two and then we're down to one. And so it's just kind of like, oh, yeah. Are we ready for that empty nester feeling yet? So
I don't, I got a ways to go. I
mean, you can personally. Always go my path. Get on well, yeah. Start over. And,
Yeah, how's the wife feel about that?
I don't want to get unneutered. I think I'm fine with my situation.
Right, you worked so hard to get to this point, Nick. Actually, I should get Danielle. Uh-huh. If you ever watch this episode, no, I am so happy that you came into Nick's life and had him unfixed, and this is the path that you've led him on, being a dad again at being so damn old. That's awesome.
No, so damn old. So
damn. I
should be a freaking grandpa at this point.
You should be. You should be.
I could be. Like, seriously. We'll find out when the oldest gets back from the military if he's hiding something from us.
That'd be a great Christmas surprise. How you feel about that, Danny Canada? The odds are ever in your favor closer now of being Grandpa Canada.
Yeah, well, funny you say that. Oh. So my daughter has accepted an advancement from a young man out in Utah. So this is her next boyfriend since high school. Like, she's gone out on a couple of dates out there in Utah, but never anything like committed. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so she's met this guy. I think he looks a little bit like Ed Sheeran, but he's from Texas, so it's kind of a weird mix. And Southern Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
But he's a good dude. He's a good dude. He treats her right. And so they're officially dating now. And so she kind of pranked us the other day when she was flying in from Utah. She's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be in on time. Don't worry. Me and Sam are coming early. And I was like, and Sam? I was like, what?
Bringing the boyfriend, Dad.
All right.
I'll
rent him a room.
That would have been the perfect opportunity to put on the wife beater and the rifle you know, and meet him at the door.
Well, you see the hat, right?
Is it American Infidel?
Amerigun.
Oh, Amerigun. Okay. Yeah. We know where you stand on all that, man. That's, I feel like you may have gotten yourself possibly in a little bit of trouble back a few years back, especially during the COVID time and the Trump years. If for everyone not aware, Danny Canada is very, very passionate about his beliefs, and he's not afraid to show them. I'm going to bring up a story, which I think is absolutely friggin' hilarious. And and before I do that, though, I got to show you this. This is not to like raise anything. You know where I stand, right? So everyone watching and listening worldwide, you know, don't get mad. If you're a Trump lover, that's great. If you're a hater, whatever, man. We're not about that on this show right now. But so a buddy of mine handed this to me the other day.
All right.
And I was like, sweet, man. And I opened it up. And I was like, yeah, see, we giggle about it. But so this story, sure. Man, it was during the height of COVID and the mask wearing thing. And I see a post on Facebook. I don't know what store it was, but you know, when everyone's freaking out about not wearing a mask when going into a store. So Mr. Canada over here was not wearing a mask, left to get a mask, and came back in the store wearing a mask. However, it was a Halloween mask, was it not? And was it Trump?
It was a Trump rubber silicone.
Yes.
Yeah, full head mask.
And he's wearing a mask. What's the problem, you know? And yeah. I thought that was freaking hilarious. And I think the people at the store, like, lost their ever-loving minds. And, yeah.
It was not a store, though. It was a dental office.
Oh, okay.
So, well, that's why I had to go live with this, because it didn't make any sense. There wasn't a single patient in there. I was the only patient in the entire building.
Right.
So you go in and they share it with some other dentists or whatever. So the whole lobby open. A couple receptionists behind their screens, masked up, totally fine.
Right.
You know, when you first go in, they say, can you fill out this form? Yeah, sure. So I get a pen and a paper. I sit down and I fill out this whole form. You know, it takes you 5 minutes or whatever. So I was, you know, 5 minutes early for my appointment. I go, I bring it up. I said, here you go. Am I ready to go back now? Or do I just need to wait until they get everything ready back there? And she goes, okay, yeah, thanks for your form. I just need to ask you if you have a mask. I said, no, I don't have a mask. I'm going to the dentist. I'm like, can I just go back there right now? And I'm telling you, JP, Nick, I was about, I'm Canadian, so I won't use centimeters. I was about a foot and a half from the door where you walk in.
Right.
No, you need to have a mask. I said, I need to have a mask on here. And then when I go through that door, I can take it off. Yeah, that's right. I said, come on, let me just go back there. I'll just go right now. If you want me to wait outside, I'll go wait outside till they're ready. I don't have to wait in here. Nope, you need a mask. Fine, give me back my paper. And that's when I went back. I got my rubber mask and I came back. Still, not a single person in the whole. And I'm only like 2 minutes down the road from the dentist. It's not like it was far. I was back in like 5 minutes. Right. Got my mask, walked in with that thing. And they're like, oh, you can't wear that mask. You need to have one of these blue ones. I said, well, why? He goes, you see those holes in there? That is going to go right in. And I said, well, do you see all the holes in your mask? Top, bottom. Here? Anyways, they ended up calling the police.
Yep.
Which was amazing. So I was like, okay. So I go and step outside. The cop shows up and he goes, so are you Dan? Yeah. Are you... you're not going to be going in the dentist there? I said, no. He said, are you looking for a new dentist? I said, I will be. He goes, have a nice day. Then this is the best part though, JP. Like, he went walking to the door to go in.
Yeah.
And then he was about to open the door. He stopped, looks back at me, puts his mask on, and then goes inside. Oh. It's such a joke. It's a joke.
Crazy, crazy times, man. And we were, we're all about, you know, look, we get it, man. If that's how you feel, okay. But we need to, like, think rationally here, you know? It just blew my mind. You got to wear a mask to walk into a restaurant only to take it off to eat.
Take it off, yeah.
But the worst part was you had to put the mask on to go through the restaurant to go to their outside spot. Then you could take it off again. Yeah. So bizarre. Yeah. Everything about it just made no sense.
I'm so glad we're not there anymore. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I was working
at a certain furniture store in Medford when all this was going down. And we had such a diverse group of employees. It was so weird. There's like a few of the guys were like, oh, yeah, 100%. The mask is a great thing. Let's support everything that's going on. Couple guys were super right wing, absolutely not. And we had one guy that was like the crazy guy. He's like, if they make me wear a mask, I'm going to come in and shoot everybody. He showed up with his guns.
Oh, shit.
I was like, whoa, bro. Like, super religious, super like right wing, super scary. I'm like, dude, just calm down. He would tell customers, if you put a mask on, I'm just going to shoot you. I'm all, bro, we're trying to sell stuff here.
Like, how did he make it to a second day? That's what I want to know.
Right? So do I. He's still, as far as I know, this dude still works there. I'm like, how is this? Yeah.
He must sell a lot of beds.
No.
Let's go there wearing masks just to see what happens.
Dude, it was
crazy. No, I got family. I don't want to get shot.
Yeah, the dude was like one of the scariest guys I've ever worked with. And just the way he treated people, it's like, man, like, just calm down a little bit, you know?
If you don't agree
with it.
I want to reel this son of a bitch back here. I got a question for Danny. We have had a lot of guests on this show, and I like to ask this question to most of them, especially fathers who have girls of a certain age. Did you encounter any of the issues that we have encountered and many other fathers have encountered, where all of a sudden at 13, 14, 15 years old, the daughter's just a switch just flips and all of a sudden they hate you. They don't listen to you. You're wrong. You know nothing. Any of that happened in the world of Danny Canada?
The switch never flipped. I think it's just always been on. I mean, I have three daughters. I have, cats and my wife. I'm the only guy in my house. Right. So everything is wrong no matter what I say. So once you live at that level, then it doesn't really matter, to be honest. But I think to answer your question more real, I never really had that. I had an awesome relationship with my daughters. There'd be times where I'd give advice. They wouldn't really receive it, or they thought what I was saying wasn't quite right or whatever.
Right.
But when my daughter was in high school, the oldest, who's graduated now, I used to DJ all her dances. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got to be, the chaperone, but not a chaperone. I got to be up on the stage. And so I did that with another girlfriend of mine who is a radio personality, and then another guy who would actually do the mixing. So we made a big show of it. There'd be three of us there. You know, we'd pump up the kids for a couple hours. We kept the high energy the whole time, and they absolutely loved it. So I did that for the 4 years my daughter was going through high school, for all the dances, the prom, the winter formal, the homecoming. So that was, that was great. And something else that I've really been fortunate with my girls, like you say, I'm an actor, radio personality. I also do sports broadcasting for a local company called Table Rock Sports. So we do high school.
Yes, sir.
So I do all the sports for a high school. And I've had my daughters be able to come and do that with me. So I usually do it with a partner of mine. So I'll do the camera, do some commentary. He'll usually do the play-by-play and run the laptop. But sometimes he's working or can't make it. So I'll have my daughters come and run the camera, and then I'll just bump over to the laptop. So I'll get to work with them, And I've been able to bring them on sets with me and shoot commercials with me and have some roles in some different projects and stuff around the Valley here, which has been a lot of fun. So being able to include them in my work life and my daily life and my activities and hobbies and stuff has been really kind of fun. So I've had an interesting connection with my girls that way.
That's cool, man. Try and did the same. It's really cool when you can do that, especially in an industry that we have worked where, I mean, I don't want to gloat or sound pompous when I say this, but it's a really fucking cool job that lot of people who have never worked in the industry will look up at that and think, "Whoa, man, that's really cool." And to bring our children into that life and experience it, man, that's been one of my greatest pleasures ever. And so I know exactly what you're talking about, man. Good stuff. Speaking of, Danny Cannon and I worked together at a radio station that shall not be named back in the day. I don't name it, man. I refuse to.
Don't name names.
No, we're not naming any names. You can name them all you want if you feel like it. But it's a funny story. So how we met, I went to radio station that shall not be named as a program director of this one station. He was already working there at the time, but I met him a couple years prior when I worked for the company you work for now.
Currently. Yeah.
And we were doing some event and you were selling cars, I believe. And that car dealership was a sponsor for one of the events that we were doing. And he came on stage and did his thing long before he was ever on the air in the radio. And then I come and work at this other place and he's there. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Because you told me you wanted to work in radio and here you are and you worked in radio. And now finally, I mean, we're talking years later, man, you, just like I did, you've climbed that ladder and you are program director now, correct?
Morning show. I got my own morning show now.
And the morning. Yeah. You have. That's the best spot to have, man.
If you work
in radio, you want the morning show. It's where everyone listens. It's the biggest ratings getter. But just wanted to say, man, good job for climbing those ranks, dude. That's pretty cool. I tune in when I get a chance. It's really cool. It's the All-American Show with Danny Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you come up with that? Was it supposed to be an eyebrow raiser?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly what it was.
On 102.7 The Drive at Opus Broadcasting here in Southern Oregon. So cheers to you, mate, for doing that show. And it's been a few years now, man. So obviously you're doing something right, because if it sucked, you wouldn't still be doing it.
You know, that's, and I think the name says it all. Like, it was just, it's fun, right? The job is fun. I try to make the show fun. I, you know, I don't get into any kind of political stuff or controversial stuff as much as I love to do that. I just figured, you know what, with all that that's going on already and all the different places, somebody wants to go and get contentious, they can find a place to go and do that. I just figured let's have a music filled fun morning. So it's filled with just comedy bits and other little funny segments, and just, it's, you know, it's just a goofy way to wake up in the morning. And that's the way I wanted it, to have fun.
Boom. There you go. Nick, you're so quiet over there, man. I'm sorry. You got to listen.
I love the stories, man. I love the see you interact with,
dude, what you love. You have no idea the things him and I used to get into at the place that shall not be named. It was so much fun. I mean, gosh, remember when you shaved your head, or you shaved your beard? You shaved your beard for a project that you had got going on, some film you were doing, and you didn't tell anybody. And I think you were recording reactions or something. Anyway, I walked into our office and you had a camera rolling, and the look on my face was just like, you looked real strange to me, man, with no beard after never seeing you without a beard. And he captured the moment. And the reaction face, and it's on Facebook somewhere, man. I totally posted that. I'm like, this is the look when you realize Dan shaved his friggin' beard for a role. It was hilarious. And man,
but it's not that I just shaved my beard and had a clean face. I was doing a play called The Foreigner, and that was at a local theater in Talent here in Southern Oregon. And so I was a KKK leader. Right. Okay.
Yes.
in this like old Georgia like lake house, right? That was the setting, you know, and it's like this little cottage. And so we're there having like this KKK meeting, and this foreigner guy comes in, and he ends up pretending he doesn't speak English, but he does and understands what we're saying, and then he goes and spoils a plan. But so I had a full like Fu Manchu type of goatee type of thing that went like this. So that was the fun part about that particular shaving, because it wasn't just a clean shave. It had a full, oh yeah, it came all the way down like this. And I looked from the, because the play took place in the 80s, so I had like, it was awful. It looked absolutely perfect.
and with the power of editing, by the way, this episode, the clip that we're going to advertise for it is going to be Danny Canada saying, so I was a Ku Klux Klan member, and then I'm just going to cut it out at that. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to see what happens. We're going to try to generate a little controversy. No, of course not.
I was the leader of the, I could do it. I was the leader of the KKK.
Cut. Okay. There you go. All right, man. Woo. We're covering the gamut. I want to take you back 19 and a half, 20 years ago. If you can remember that far back, old man.
I can.
You were notified somehow, some way by the lady that you were in fact going to become a father for the very first time. Can you recall the emotions of that day?
Oh yeah, bro. Absolute. First baby, you never forget, right?
But did you forget the second or third one?
I totally forgot the second one. But only because, I'll tell you a funny story about that one too. And I do remember the third one. But the first one, at the time, I was selling motorcycles. I was running a motorcycle shop up in Canada. I used to run the sales department and finance department. I also used to teach motorcycle riding. So I was way into bikes for many, many years. And she called me at work. And this was in 2003. Mm-hmm. So not pre-cell phones, but we didn't have one yet. We couldn't really afford one back then. You know, we were just first married. And she worked at a pharmacy. She was a technician, you know, would kind of count all the pills. Yeah. And then the pharmacist would come in and sign off. So she was a tech. And so they would just have a ton of these birth control things. So she calls me and she's like, I got news. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like, I took one of the tests. I was like, no, you didn't. She's like, yeah, it's positive. Like, I don't believe you. She's like, nope. I go, you go take another one, because you get false positives.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm like, she goes, no, I'm not going to take another one. I'm like, babe, you get them for free. They're in the pharmacy. Just go take another one. She calls me back. Yep. And it's positive again. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay.
Here we go.
Party on. So that was the first one. The second one, I don't remember the positive test or what have you, but right after the, how do you say this on your
conception
on your show here, after the lovemaking.
The conception. Yeah.
The conception.
The conception.
Yeah.
The
we looked at each other. We was so funny because my wife and I looked at each other and we were like, we're having another baby. She's like, yeah, I'm going to get pregnant. I'm like, you're going to get pregnant. And then she was pregnant. So that was, and those two are like 18 months apart or something. They're super close. So when the oldest one left to college, it was really hard for her, for our middle one, because it was like her best friend was leaving, you know?
Yeah.
And then the third one, we had just moved to California. So she's our California baby.
Yes. Yeah. I'm still, so you still got me wrapped around the lovemaking line. I'm gonna.
I don't think anybody's ever said that on
you. You're on a first. Now I'm gonna let you in on a little secret here, Danny Canada. And it took me a while as well because I worked in radio for so many years and still do, and as you do. But are you ready?
Yep.
Fuck.
All right then.
It is totally okay on this platform.
Here, I'll tell you a funny radio story.
Okay.
On my morning show, I do a segment called Crazy But True. And so this one, it's so basically I read a headline and a couple minutes of a crazy story, right? Whatever's going on.
Right.
And so the headline was used titties for sale on Facebook.
Used titties for sale on Facebook. Okay.
Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll read the headline, used titties for sale on Facebook Marketplace.
Did and then you
I'll
say
play
it?
A drop. I did.
Okay.
And then I'll play a drop, like, you know, whatever, funny sound effect or something, right? And then I'll get into the story. Well, I'm sitting there reading the story, and after I'm done, I get a text from the boss, and he says, can you come see me when you're off air?
I've had the same text. Okay.
Yeah, no problem. So I go down, and I go and talk to him, like, yeah, what's up? He's like, did you say titties on air? And I was like, oh, yeah, I was reading my story. And the story went like this. So, yeah, this lady on Facebook, she put the post on her thing. She goes, I got my used titties for sale. Titties normally $400 on sale for $200. Get a new set of pair of titties, still good silicone, for only $200. And so I didn't know that was an FCC word.
Yes.
So here I am just saying it like left and right. And then what is it, like $20,000 a top?
Yeah,
that
was like $180,000 fine right there. Yeah.
So he goes, that's one of the seven deadlies, man. You can't say that. He's like, I'm driving into work and I hear Danny say titties. I'm like, uh-oh. And then he goes again and again. And he's like, I'm having a heart attack in the car. Like, what's happening right now? So that's why. So I don't say that on air anymore. And so, you know, I like to take the line and make it very close. I try not to cross it because I don't want to get anyone in trouble. I don't want my boss to pay. But I had no idea. I didn't know that was one of them. You could say jugs, milkers,
knockers,
butters,
boobs is okay.
Balloons,
but you can say boobs, breasts, but yeah, go tit. All of a sudden, it's a bad thing. God, it's
so, like,
fun, I mean, bags. You, there you go. That's a fun one.
We could spend the whole next hour coming up with names for boobs.
But, yes,
it was so funny, man. That was one of my.
I have the exact same story for you, coming from the exact same boss. Okay, 2006, give or take. We are coming up with some new imaging because we just rebranded. It went from 97 The Rogue, the Valley's new rock alternative, to rebranding to New Rock 96.9 The Rogue. It has now since then become something different, but kind of the same, but that's neither here nor there. So we're coming up with the new imaging, and we had our voice guy voice something along the lines of, listen to New Rock 96.9 The Rogue at work, and if your boss tells you you can't, tell him to fuck off. And we bleeped out the F. You know, but you could hear the uck. You could hear a little bit. So it was you knew, but it was still passable.
Yeah.
And we didn't cover it with we didn't show it the PD at the time. We just we built it, we loaded it, and we let it run. And we got the text in the morning show about the second or third time it aired, in the same day, first day it aired. Did you just say same thing? And he's like, and because of the content was tell your boss to F off,
yeah, sure.
He took it. And this was at a point in time when that particular guy was, he was younger. We'll just leave it younger and more really like, you know, so we got our hand slapped for that one. It immediately had to go away. And that was that. And
well, there you go.
Yeah. So, not but. I think yours is wins, though. You said titty 8 or 9 times. That's like $200,000. Boom.
It's live. I'm live. Here we go. It's out there, baby. Nothing bringing that back.
Do you record your shows?
No.
Okay. There was a point in time where we just hit record the prod room and let all our shows, so we'd go back, you know, to find clips from the day. That would be one that you want to hold on to and keep for your personal collection. That would have that would have been fantastic. Yeah. This was the time where I almost cost my boss $500,000. You know.
Yeah. No raise for me until I pay that off.
Right. So no raise ever.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know, because I know what we make here in Southern Oregon working for radio. But that's neither here nor there. We love you. We love y'all.
Well, that's why I do the acting and the sports. And, you know, speaking of acting, 4 hours a day, you know, I'm out of there at 10 in the morning. I'm home before sometimes my kids go to school on late starts and things like that. So, you know, it's a blessing. I love it. I get to be around my kiddos as much as I can, you know. And, you know, that's one thing I fought my whole life. You know, I've always wanted to be, who doesn't, right? You always want to be in that level, that top level. You know, if you're a musician or an actor or a sports athlete, you know, you want to be in the pros if you can. Yeah. And so, I mean, that was always the dream. And I spent a lot of time down in Los Angeles and big cities, and I wouldn't want to live there. I wouldn't want to do that grind. I would not want to spend most of my life in a car traveling from place to place or audition to audition or from set to set. And, you know, I feel just so blessed to be able to do what I love to do here. It's not on the same scale, and I don't get the recognition or the zeros at the end of the check, but, you know, it's dad cast. It's all about our kids and how much we love them, right? And be around them and to be around them at home every day. And, you know, once they're gone, then maybe I can pursue some different stuff where I don't have to deal with, you know, adulting and parenting and being there for the kids when they're making their own lives. Then I can kind of cut back into kind of what I want to do and maybe bump the next level. So
what's the great thing is, though, is you're still doing it at a level while doing it. That's good stuff. Same here, man.
So, you know, I'm professional, right? Like, I'm a pro. Like, this is what I do for my career. Like, you know, I'm not calling, you know, World Series games or calling Super Bowls, you know, but hey, man, I love it because my kids are friends with a lot of the football players or basketball players on the teams. And so their parents who get to watch the games when they're stuck at work or if the kids are on the road and they can still pull up their phone or their YouTube and watch their kid play. So many times parents are like, oh, thank you so much for what you do. I get to see my kid when I can't make it to the games. And so, you know, that to me is super rewarding. I mean, again, who doesn't want the money? I'd love the money. But when you have parents that are so appreciative of what you do so they can watch their kiddos, right on.
That's amazing, man. Now, so Table Rock Sports, are they affiliated with a particular high school or is it the whole gamut?
So yes, there's more than one crew. So it's not my company. I just,
You work for them.
Right. So I do all the games for Central Point High School, for Crater High School.
Okay.
Okay, so then there's another crew that does Medford, another crew that like North Medford, crew that does South Medford, crew that does Grants Pass. So there's about seven crews that work different schools.
And do you travel for away games?
For football, once we get into basketball playoffs, there's a couple of teams that are up north. So sometimes they will take those games. Like if it's a Tuesday and we can't make it, they'll do it. But I do some traveling.
That's pretty cool, man. I don't remember if you... if we worked at the radio station that shall not be named at the same time when the sports guy was, do you remember the sports guy over there? Did you work there at the time?
Not Max, but
the new guy who replaced him, Matt Bagley.
Max,
you remember Max?
I worked with Max. So he worked with Table Rock.
Yes. Now, do you remember the guy that came in after, or were you already gone at that point?
Bagley, I remember him.
Okay, so yeah, it was great what he did over there. He started that own show, and his aspiration and goal in life was always to be a play-by-play guy. And he did it for football, basketball. I saw the grind. I saw what he went through. I saw how well he did it. So it's like, I know exactly what you're doing, man. And it's not easy, but it's so gosh darn rewarding, and especially if you're a sports fan. That's one thing things don't make me nervous when it comes to radio or being in front of people, but the idea of trying to play by play, say a football game, that makes me a little bit nervous. I'm sure once given some practice, I'd be pretty good at it, but that it takes a skill, man. Cause I've sat in with him when he does it and I'm just like, wow, I talk fast. But, I mean, memorizing players' names and positions and I'd be better color guy, you know?
Yeah, I do mostly color, but I fuck up a lot, JP, so there you go.
I got to tune in next year, man. I can't wait. Or even this year. We got basketball, right, going on right now?
A little break because of Christmas. Right. I think they're going to be doing a little tournament. They do like a little holiday over the holiday break, a holiday tournament over the break. Gotcha. I might do a game or two of that. It'll kick back up there in January. Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
All right. It is a grind, man. I mean, sometimes I'll do the morning show and then, my partner and I will take off around noon. Maybe we'll go up 2-3 hours a little north of Eugene. You know, we'll do a game there. Game starts, at 7 o'clock. So it's over by 9, a little after 9. And then you're another 2.5 hours home. So sometimes I'm not back home till midnight and then, turn around and, Saturday morning, I won't be doing my radio show, but something else is usually going on. So yeah, some days are tough, but like I say, it's a lot of fun. And a lot of the kids I know too, because my daughters went to school, they're friends with them. So sometimes they're at the house and then, we're doing the game. So it's just fun being involved, being around the kids and being in their life, but not overbearing in their life, So
yeah,
I'm blessed, man. It's a great, great opportunity.
Nick has a segment that we've given him called the Fast Five. It's a radio segment that I did back in the day that we've incorporated in here in the podcast. Cool. I'm sure you get the gist. So Nick, did you put together one or are we going to go off memory?
We're going to wing it, but I kind of have one. I'm
all
thinking
right.
about
rock and stuff. Roll. The conch is yours, my friend.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So favorite local concert you guys have presented.
Favorite local concert that we presented?
Yeah.
All right. It was one actually that I did with JP, and it wasn't so much a concert. It was a comedy show at the fair, and it was Gabriel Iglesias.
Fluffy!
Fluffy. It was so fun. And we got to hang out with him before the show. We're all hanging out with him backstage, goofing around, laughing. He's telling us about what he's been up to and blah, blah, blah. And we were back there for, remember JP, 20 minutes, half an hour or something. Yeah. We're all goofing around. And right before he goes on stage, he's like, okay, guys, let's do some pictures before, I get ready to go and do my set. So, okay. So everyone's lining up, they're doing pictures. So then it's my turn. And I said, hey, Fluff, before we take this picture, can I ask you a question? He goes, yeah, sure. I said, all right, do you want me to do this picture with you unfluffed or fluffed? And now I can make my belly stick out like I'm 9 months pregnant. And so he just cracked up, started laughing so hard. It just did this funny point at me. He goes, oh, man. He's like, I wish I could unfluff my belly, but I'm always perma-fluffed. I'm like, all right, let's do it fluffed. And I stuck my belly out and we took the picture together. And I still have it to this day. And it's one of my favorite moments. He's one of my favorite comedians. I love stand-up comedy. He's on my morning show. I do comedy right at 6 o'clock and we kick it off. And again, at 8:30, it's called Comedy Corner. And I have about a minute of guys like Fluff and Seinfeld and Brian Regan and all the just my favorite artists, stand-up comedians do about a minute and a couple of times a morning. So I love stand-up comedy. So that was probably one of my favorites there.
I'm so glad you didn't say Matt Rulin's stand-up comedy routine. Remember that nightmare?
Matt Rulin.
Matt, he's the prod guy. And he did a show. He opened up for the comedians that played at the Rogue Theater, not the Rogue Theater, at the Criterion downtown. Didn't you go to that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Long story short, it was the most cringe worthy moment. And Matt, if you're watching this, I'm sorry. We've told you this. You remember now.
I remember now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Woo! Glad you didn't say Big that. Matt, all right. That's sorry.
Because his last name threw me off. Big Matt.
Big Matt.
That's Rulin. What I ever called him. Matt Rulin. I forgot that was his last name. Okay. Yeah. That was pretty bad.
That was so. Oh man.
Okay.
And that's why I have such an appreciation for stand-up comedians, because to get whatever it is, 5 people, 500 people all laughing at the same thing. Yeah. That's such art. Like that's to me it's is brilliant. So. Oh, it is.
All right, Nick. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, if you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
A billboard with anything on it. Like with my name, my likeness, or does it have nothing to do with me?
Anything you want.
And I'll tell you why I asked this question.
Okay. A billboard with anything on it. Maybe a black billboard with a little white dot right in the middle. And I would do that as a way, because life, sometimes you're going through it and it's dark and there's one little spot of light. And if you could just keep focusing on that one thing, if that's the only thing that's going to get you through whatever darkness you happen to go through, whatever, if it's grief, if it's, financial losses, if it's, maybe you've got a sickness, and so you're fighting through this darkness, but there's always, I think, a little bit of light in there, and just to focus on that. help you get through it. So that would be my billboard.
Love it. Man. That's one of the most original answers we've ever gotten for that.
Yeah.
Well done, so Dancy.
When we first started this, I bought a billboard on Crater Lake Highway for lasted a week, 2 weeks maybe. It had our pictures on it. Dadcast, the number one parenting podcast in the world. It was like, awesome. We've been going for what, maybe two episodes?
Yeah, we had like two episodes up and here we are. I'm like, why did you do that, bro? I thought it was a good idea, man. I'm like, number one in the world? We're not even like number 1,000 in a square block of Medford yet. It's like,
but now look at where we're at. Now we're in the top 1%. So
whatever. Yeah, right? There you go.
1.5% Let's not get crazy. Let's not get nuts. Top 1.5% of all podcasts. Okay. Yes, that's pretty amazing.
Bring it down.
Next question.
Just forecasting, man. He was projecting and forecasting. That's good. That's what business people do. Right. They forecast.
It had a lot to do with just people telling us that it was a dumb idea. The boss I worked for at the time, the store happened to be on Crater Lake Highway, didn't like the idea. So I was like, you know what? She can look at it every day when she comes to work now. Fuck her.
I love that. That's awesome.
For the record, I did not have the same mindset. Okay.
Yeah.
It's on record.
All right. Okay.
Whatever. Next question, Nick.
Your favorite meal to cook for your girls?
My favorite meal to cook for my girls. All right. This is my signature. So when my wife and I got married, somebody gave us, I can't remember who, gave us a cookbook for our, like a wedding gift, like a cookbook with some cooking stuff, you know, like utensils or whatever. But this cookbook had some amazing recipes in it. And, I made this one. It was a salmon dill pasta and it was like a white sauce, a cream sauce. And then you would get little bits of like a smoked salmon and you use bow tie pastas and it was like a salmon pasta. And my girls, they love it. Like that was the one thing my daughter was like, Maddie, hey, when you're coming home, when I come home, you make me salmon dill pasta. And she's like lactose intolerant. So they love it.
That's awesome. Salmon dill pasta. My heart right.
It sounds bougie. It's really like a quick mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you know what I mean? But it sounds bougie and they love it. And so, okay, whatever.
Cool. If you could co-host a radio show with any stupid famous DJ, who would it be?
Would it have to be a radio DJ?
Doesn't have to be a radio DJ. Anybody.
Oh, so I could host anybody on my show.
You could co-host a radio show. Who's going to co-host for you? Who's it going to be?
That's a good one.
If you pick JP, I'm never going to let you come back on.
We've already done it, man. It's already happened.
We've been on air a few times.
Yeah.
That's tough because I love so many different things. Like I love stand-up comedy. I talk about obviously music. I'm totally into music, all kinds of genres, sports. I love all kinds of athletes, you know? If I had to with anybody, let's go maybe Dave Grohl.
Good answer.
Foo Fighters. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
By the way,
I love him.
By the way, Danny C, Brock Purdy's on the show next week.
Get out.
I'm kidding. But we're trying.
Oh, man. But you're a Raiders fan.
That doesn't mean, dude, Andrew DePaula, he is the long snapper for the Minnesota Vikings, was formerly the long snapper of the Raiders. I met him and his family at one of the training camps I went to. And we became friends and he, in fact, texted me the other day, which was pretty cool out of nowhere. But anyway, he's an NFL player. He's been on the show. He's a Minnesota Viking now. Does that mean he can't be on the show because I'm a Raider fan? No.
And I'm a Niners fan.
You two are Niner fans. Oh, nice. No. Hey, he was a Raider fan for about a hot minute last season.
I gave all my shit to
JP. Bought a hat, bought a shirt. You see those shoes in the background there? He bought those things. And I'm like, okay, good. He's to the dark side. Now back to being a Niner fan. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Look, they're winning and they're kicking ass. So now you're a Niner fan again.
I've been a fan since I was a little kid. I'd go down to San Francisco every summer when I was a little kid, go to the games, watch Montana, watch Rice. Yeah.
That's it. I grew up just outside Toronto, right, in Burlington, Ontario. So everyone asked me, how are you a Niners fan? Well, I started playing football in the 80s and watching football, and it was always like, okay, so it was either Detroit coming over the airwaves or the Browns coming over or the Bills back in the 80s. In the 90s, the Bills got good, which was fun, or we'd watch all of the primetime games, and the Niners were always primetime back then, and Jerry Rice and Montana. So, and I played a receiver. So Rice was my hero. So that's how I just gravitated to the Niners. And so, yeah, I love the Niners and the Bills. They're my two favorite teams. In the 90s, I started dating a girl. She was a Bills fan and they were kicking ass. So I started, and they're local. So those are my, it's AFC, NFC. I figure I can have two teams.
There you go. At some point we had, and we got to look into this, Nick. But we had Stafford on the hook to be on the show. Yeah. Right after they won the Super Bowl. So this is
almost
a year and a half, 2 years now.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with that. We gotta circle back.
I need to reach out and
get him back on. But we
He won the Super Bowl. That's what happened.
Yeah. It's like, no, this was after the fact.
And that's basically it. It's kind of like he's too busy for anything.
And in season, it's next to impossible.
Yeah. So like Brock Purdy's family has a podcast that's actually really cool. So I reached out to that. So we'll see what happens with that. And from what I hear, he's super down to earth and totally into doing this.
He's not old enough or experienced enough to not be. Come on.
Right.
Let's wait till the end of this season when he most likely will win MVP. I predict the Niners are winning the Super Bowl this year. I mean,
I don't foresee him changing his personality.
Yeah, I know. But look at Tom Brady. He's seven Super Bowls later and you can see a little bit of the change. Now he knows he's Tom fucking Brady versus, you know, the fifth round pick out of Michigan. But okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted the fast five. Were you done?
No.
Okay. Yeah,
one more.
Let's go.
I lost my train of thought. So why don't you ask the last?
Okay. Well, it's not part of a fast five because this one's a thinking question, but we're getting close to the end of our time here, Danny Canada. So a few more important questions. First one being, I know there's not a singular answer to this question, but if you could make your best attempt to make it a singular answer, what is the best thing about being a dad in the world of you?
The best thing about being a dad in the world of me? The best thing about being a dad, I think, in everyone's world is watching your kids grow.
That's right.
I mean, if you want to make it short, is watching them grow because they blow you away all the time, right? My one daughter, she's a ballerina and she's been dancing for over 10 years at one company here in Medford. And she's had great opportunities to dance down at Disney. They did an Aladdin production. She played Jasmine. She's ballerina on point and stuff. And the stuff that she does blows my mind. You know, it's just like, wow. My other kid, she came home one time and she's like, "Hey, Dad, I need you to sign this permission form for the athletic department in school." I was like, "Oh yeah, you're playing some sports?" She goes, "Yeah, I'm going to be on the track team." I was like, "Oh, very cool. Yeah, what are you going to run?" She goes, "I'm not going to run." I'm like, "It's the track team. What do you mean you're not going to run?" She goes, "I want to do pole vault." I was like, "Yes, give me that sign right now. Let's do some pole vault. That is just kick ass, you know." So, just the things that they, the kids gravitate to, what they like, what they enjoy, and to watch them grow in that, to me, that's the best part about being a dad. It's amazing.
To me, the best thing about being a dad is watching them grow. It's also the worst thing about being a dad is
watching them
grow.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? That little girl of mine, that 10-year-old, that little sassy frass. I've coined a new name, by the way, and you're free to use it. My youngest is a pure 100% genuine sasshole.
Sasshole. All right.
So
I should be able to do that on air too, right? That
there's an S. There's an S in front of it. Yes.
Right.
There you go.
Just like you could say Bangkok.
You can say ass on air.
You can say Bangkok, Thailand. But you know, you gotta make sure it don't put too much of a pregnant pause behind it. You know, if you're like Bangkok. That might be a problem, but you know, if you go Bangkok, we're good. You know what I'm saying? Et cetera, et cetera. But no motherfuckers. That's right out.
And no titties.
There ain't no fixing it. No
titty motherfuckers. I give it 5 years, dude. 5 years, motherfuckers and titties will be just fine.
Well, yeah. Once it goes all satellite.
All streaming. But. Yeah.
Oh man. I am having so much fun, man. I'm so glad you came on the show, man. And in such short notice, thank you for getting back, by the way. I saw you driving on the street. I've been wanting you on for the last couple of years and I don't know.
Yeah.
I just, who knows? We got slammed earlier this year. There was a point where I had like 13, 14 episodes in the queue that I had to get all edited and put out every week. And it was just, it was madness. And then
point where I almost died.
And then fucko over here decided to have a stroke in Vegas and has had about a year and a half of health complications. And he's now literally like yesterday, finally getting over the hump. We hope there's still another surgery, right? Coming up.
A few more, but yeah.
Yeah. He literally,
that's what happens when you get unsnipped, man. You'll get a stroke instantly, you know?
Not a good kind.
Oh, dude. No. He got trapped in an elevator after having a stroke at like 5 o'clock in the morning. It was just the worst things. And then he dumbass flies home in, you know, altitude. Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's wild.
I think the
worst part, though, the bloody nose I had being trapped in the elevator. And
all they gave him was a free breakfast.
Well, that and they asked, like, how much cocaine did I do? I'm like, yes. Well, obviously not enough.
Obviously.
They asked
obviously
that.
Obviously, I'm still alive.
From the speaker in the elevator when it was broken. Gushing blood. Yeah. Oh, God, dude. I'm so.
Yeah, dude, it was.
And
it
I'm
was
sleeping so through all of it.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it was. Yeah. And it was, then, like a dumbass, I jump on a plane and fly back. I'm like, oh.
That's crazy. Well, thanks for having me on, man. It sounds like you guys are, it looks like you guys are having a blast doing this, and it's been successful. Yeah. A couple of years now. So
absolutely.
For you,
only
man.
Wait, 24. Yeah. We got big things brewing, man. I've got one final question for you, Danny Canada. It's the most important question I like to ask on this show. Feel free to think about it or go straight from the heart. What is one piece of advice you would give a brand new father or soon to be father?
One piece of advice. I don't know. It may sound a little cliche-ish, but just to soak in every moment, good, bad, and ugly, you know, and just soak it in and be slow to anger. One of my things is I tend to rile up real fast. You know, you say at the beginning of the thing, passionate, I get passionate real fast. And, you know, sometimes that can slip into anger kind of quick when things kind of aren't going your way. Right. And so I found myself many times with my daughters being a little more angry than I should. And so, you know, not to the point of violence or hitting them or anything, but you know, you have something about you and they can feel it and it upsets the vibe in the house. And so, and it gets the wife upset or whatever. And so I've learned over the last several years to kind of just tone that down and just soak it all in, you know. They'll do amazing things and kids will do really stupid things. And no matter what, they're learning, right? Hopefully we've learned through whatever it is that we need to learn through, and whatever they're going through, we've already learned, so we can be there on the other side. But you got to kind of let them make their mistakes and learn, and don't get angry about it, and be more about just about helping them on that side of it. So that would probably be my thing is, what do they say? Slow to anger, quick to love.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Slow to anger, quick to love.
Love it. It's a great answer.
Because they're going to mess up, right? Because they mess up. So we do. We're kids. We were kids. We fucked up all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and who's to say we've stopped? Not me. I still make mistakes on the daily for the most part. Mm-hmm. All right. He is, Mr. Danny Canada, otherwise known as Mr. Dan Hanvey. I gave your real name out there finally at the end of the show. He's an actor. Okay. He's a radio personality.
You'll find it. All my IMDb stuff is Dan Hanvey. So if you look, I got 4 movies that are on Amazon. I got several credits on IMDb. They're all Dan Hanvey. That's kind of more my acting name because I've been doing that longer than radio. And then when you kind of get into radio, they want to give you a fun radio name. And so Danny Canada just kind of what stuck. Being Canadian and Dan, it just kind of, this kind of was given to me.
I hear you, man. I wanted to be Dick Dragon, but they wouldn't let me do it.
FCC.
But Dragon, rawr, not dragging, but whatever. Anywho, he is Danny Canada, man. Thank you so much for coming on Dadcast today. Thanks, you've been amazing. To everyone listening and watching worldwide, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you so much for checking out the show. We appreciate you. Merry Christmas if you're catching this right about when it drops. Happy New Year. And if you're watching this in the future, I hope your 2024 was amazing. Make sure you like, subscribe, and do all the things. No, if they're in the future, Dan, I hope their 2024 was amazing.
Oh, yes.
Because they're way in the future.
Way. That's how far this is going to be showing?
This thing, that once it goes out there, it's there forever. You know, in 2028, hey, I hope your 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28 was amazing, Mr. Viewer, because that's how long this sumbitch is going to be on the internet and then some. Thank you so much. We appreciate, we love you. We'll catch you all next year with some amazing new content, a bunch of great new guests, and some surprises in store.
Yeah,
I know. I didn't want to touch on that too much today, Nick. This was, this is about Dan. This is about Danny Canada today. It's not about what the Dadcast is going to evolve into, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, next year. But tune in first week of January. That's coming up. You'll find out. See y'all. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys. See you, Nick. See you, JP. Thanks, bro.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.